So it's Saturday, February 14th, 2026. And on the calendar, that means Valentine's Day.
It does.
But looking at our source for today, this thing from Taking Game called Silicon Soulmates, the 2026 Tech Valentine's Day Guide, it feels less like Cupid's big day and a lot more like a tech expo.
It really does. It's fascinating because, you know, romance is supposed to be about emotion, right? About
serendipity,
a little bit of chaos,
yeah,
a little magic. But this guide, it's all about efficiency. It's about data. It is, I mean, it's a user manual for love in 2026.
And that's exactly what grabbed me. We're not just seeing hearts and flowers. The guide calls it a silicon makeover.
Right.
So our mission today is to walk through this guide. It breaks everything down into what they call, and I love this phrase, 15 strategic chat layers.
Which is just the most corporate way to say trust.
Isn't it? Strategic chat layers. But we're going to dig into them and try to answer the big question. Is technology actually fixing modern romance, or is it just, I don't know, engineering the soul right out of it?
It's a mix, because some of this is unbelievably cool and some of it is, well, it's pretty dystopian.
For sure.
I think the best place to start is with the biggest problem the guide says it's solving.
Distance.
Yeah,
let's get into it. Long distance relationships, they're just notoriously hard. You had letters, phone calls, then Zoom. But this guide says we've kind of hit a wall with that.
We have. The argument is that video calls are purely cognitive. You see a face, you hear a voice, but you don't feel anything. There's no presence.
Okay, so what's the fix?
So layer two in the guide is haptic jewelry.
Ah, the tagline is real touch from miles away.
Exactly. And we need to really think about what that means. This isn't your watch just vibrating for a text message. It's sophisticated feedback.
How so?
The guide describes things like bracelets or necklaces that can simulate the actual pressure of a hand squeeze or even the warmth of a touch.
Okay, so let's play that out. I'm in New York. My partner's in Tokyo. I tap my bracelet and they feel what exactly?
Yeah.
Little ghost hand.
Kind of, yeah. It uses these tiny micro-actuators to create very specific pressure patterns on the skin. And the whole idea is to bypass language and go straight to your sensory cortex. You feel a squeeze, your body registers contact before your brain even processes that it's technology.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds comforting, but also a little eerie.
The guide admits it's a new sensation to learn, but they frame it as bridging the distance. And if you think that's intimate, well, then you have to look at layer six.
Live heartbeat sync.
Oh.
This one really stopped me. Feeling every breath.
So this takes that whole haptic idea and it automates it. You wear a sensor, your partner wears a receiver, and you are literally broadcasting your biological rhythm in real time.
So I could be sitting at my desk trying to work on a spreadsheet, and I can physically feel my partner's heart beating on my wrist.
That's the promise. And think about the psychology of that. In a long-distance relationship, you're always wondering, are they okay? Are they stressed? With this, you don't ask. You feel their resting heart rate. You feel if it spikes. You just know.
So it turns the relationship from a conversation into more of a monitoring situation.
Or maybe a shared physiological state. It gets rid of that need to perform, to say, I'm fine when you're not. Your heart rate doesn't lie. It's a level of intimacy that might actually be deeper than being in the same room.
That's a really interesting point. It's like hyper-intimacy.
And then there's the other barrier, which is language. Layer 9, live translation dates.
The tagline is, love has no language barrier. But we've had translation apps for years. What's new here?
It's the latency and the integration. The guide is talking about earbuds and smart glasses that translate in real time at conversational speed. So it removes the what they call the cognitive load.
So no more pausing to look down at your phone.
Exactly. You're just looking at them. The tech is whispering the meaning in your ear instantly. It suggests you could fall in love with someone without sharing a single word. And the technology makes all that friction just invisible.
So the theme here is removing friction. Distance is friction. Language is friction.
Precisely. Which brings us to the next point. Because once you've solved all that, you still have to actually go on the date.
And the Silicon Soulmates guide has a lot of thoughts on how to optimize that, too.
It does.
Okay, segment two. The logistics of the date. This part was hilarious to me. Apparently, the biggest enemy of modern romance is traffic.
It's a valid point. Layer three is metaverse dates, and the selling point isn't some magical fantasy world.
No.
It's no traffic, no reservation needed.
It's so pragmatic. It's not let's fly to Mars. It's let's not have to find parking.
And that really speaks to the exhaustion of the modern dater. The metaverse is a controlled environment. In the real world, it could be raining, the Uber's late, your table's not ready. In the metaverse, you just teleport in. The ambiance is perfect.
But is it a date? Really? I mean, sitting on my couch with a headset on feels more like a work meeting.
Well, what's a date? If it's about shared attention and exclusive time, the metaverse actually guarantees that. There are no distractions. The guide calls it our new lifestyle, which implies that for a lot of people, the hassle of reality just isn't worth it anymore.
The hassle of reality. That's bleak. But, okay, even if you do brave the real world, the guide has another solution for a common annoyance. Other people. Specifically, waiters.
Ah, yes. Layer 7. Robotic dining.
With the tagline, waiters that never get cranky.
This is such a fascinating insight into social anxiety. They frame it as perfect service, but if you read between the lines, it's really about avoiding judgment, avoiding variability.
I get it, though. You're on a first date. You want things to go well.
Yeah.
A rude waiter, a messed up order. It can throw off the whole vibe.
It's a variable. A robot is a constant. The robot isn't judging your wine choice. It doesn't interrupt at the wrong moment. It's totally invisible service.
So you're removing the risk from the date.
You are. But you have to wonder, isn't navigating those little awkward moments part of getting to know someone? How they handle a rude waiter tells you something. If you sanitize the whole experience, you lose that data point.
That is a really good point. You never see how they handle a storm if it's always smooth sailing. And speaking of storms, let's talk about the stress of gift giving.
Ah, yes. Gifting 2.0. This is where we shift from sentiment to assets.
Let's start with the one that feels like a personal attack. Layer 5. AI gift assist.
And the claim is so bold. It knows their style better than you do.
That stings a little, right? You've been with someone for years, you think you know them, and Taking Game is like, nope, trust the algorithm.
But think about the data that AI has. It sees their browsing history, the ads they linger on, their wish lists. It might even track their physiological reactions to stuff they see online. You only have your memory. The AI has the receipts.
So it's an efficiency hack for happiness. No more guessing.
Exactly. For the person getting the gift, it's perfect. They get what they actually wanted. But for the giver, are you just the delivery person? If the AI picks it, buys it, maybe even writes the card, what's your role?
It's outsourcing thoughtfulness. But let's look at what the AI is buying. Because flowers are getting an upgrade, apparently. Layer 4? Smart flowers.
Smart flowers that actually talk to you.
But why? Just why?
It's about engagement. A normal flower is passive. It just sits there and looks pretty. A smart flower, though, it can interact. Maybe it lights up when your partner is thinking of you or plays a little voice note. It turns an object into a communication channel.
I can see the lighting up part being cute. Yeah. But if you want something that lasts, the guide suggests going fully digital. Layer 13. Digital bouquets. And it specifies these are NFTs.
NFT flowers that never fade.
Now, I know NFT feels like a buzzword from like 5 years ago. Why is it in a 2026 romance guide?
It's about permanence. Think about it. A real rose wilt, it's actually a symbol of decay, of impermanence.
It's a dark way to see a rose, but I guess you're right.
An NFT on a blockchain, though, is immutable. It can't decay. It can't be lost. The guide argues that if you want to promise eternal love, you should probably use a medium that is, you know, eternal.
It's logical. Cold, but logical. I think I'd still rather have the dying rose.
Yeah.
But there is one digital gift here I actually like. Layer 11. Gamer Valentine bundles.
Yes, and they specifically call out the Switch 2 and matching controllers.
The Switch 2, finally. But why is this a top romance trend?
Because it's different from the NFT. The NFT is a static asset you own. The gamer bundle is about a shared activity. By saying matching controllers, the guide is recognizing that for so many people, quality time means co-op gaming.
It's about doing something together.
Exactly. It's solving a puzzle together, fighting a boss together. It's a digital playground. The gift isn't, I bought this for you, it's I bought this for us. That feels a lot more human than a blockchain flower.
I agree completely, but
yeah,
we should probably get to the heavy stuff now. Because so far we've been talking about gadgets. Fun things. But the last section of this guide, it gets into biology, ethics, and frankly, the future of the human species.
This is where Silicon Soulmates stops being a shopping guide and starts reading like a philosophy text.
Let's start at the top. Layer 1, the number one trend, AI soulmates. And layer 12 backs this up. Singles in tech era, me, myself, and my AI.
And we have to take this seriously. The guide isn't framing this as a sad second choice. It's a legitimate lifestyle. Not, I can't find a human, but I prefer the AI.
Why? What's the appeal?
Consistency. Customization. We talked about the robotic waiter not getting cranky. An AI partner never gets cranky. It's always available, always supportive. And as we learned from the AI gifting, it knows what you want better than you do.
It's the path of least resistance. A relationship with zero friction.
And zero compromise. A human relationship is about negotiating two different realities. With an AI, there's only your reality mirrored back at you perfectly. The guide says it's easier and cooler, but really it's a closed loop of narcissism.
That's terrifying. But for those who do stick with humans, the guide says we shouldn't just trust them. We should use data. Layer 10, smart rings.
And the tagline for this is probably the most chilling thing in the entire guide. Health tracking or loyalty check?
Loyalty check? I mean, wow. How does a ring even check loyalty?
Biometrics. These rings track your heart rate, your sleep, your location, skin temperature, all great for health. But in a relationship, it's surveillance.
So if my partner says they're at the library, but their heart rate is spiking and their skin temp is up.
The app could flag that. It turns your partner into a data set to be verified. It makes trust obsolete. Why believe you when I can just check your dashboard?
That's pure dystopia. It's basically saying trust is old-fashioned, verification is the new romance.
And this connects right into layer 8, privacy and love. The guide literally asks, who's watching your digital romance? Because if you're using all this tech, the heartbeat sync, the smart rings, you are generating a huge, huge amount of incredibly intimate data.
And that data is valuable.
Incredibly. Companies know when you're in love, when you're fighting, maybe even when you're breaking up. The guide warns you to use secure platforms, but the trade-off is right there. You get the convenience and you pay for it with your privacy.
And that brings us to the ultimate optimization, the end game. Layer 14, future of love, biometrics and genetic agent matching.
This is it. This is the final step in the efficiency trend.
Okay, explain this to me. Genetic agent matching. Am I spitting in a tube?
Essentially, yes. Instead of swiping on an app based on a photo and a clever bio, you upload your genetic profile, your biometric data. An agent, an AI, analyzes it all. It looks for things like immune system compatibility, pheromonal signals, genetic diversity.
So it's not asking, do you both like hiking? It's asking, are your immune systems a good match?
It's betting on biology over personality. The promise is that it takes the mystery out of chemistry. You know that feeling when you meet someone who's great on paper, but there's just no spark?
Yeah, of course.
The guide argues that spark is biological and it can be predicted.
You are chemically compatible. Go date this person.
It saves time. It prevents heartbreak. It's the ultimate safe bet.
It sounds so sterile. Here is your assigned partner.
It does. But we've reached the end of the guide. Layer 15 is just the conclusion. Does tech kill the vibe or make it better?
And Taking Game's answer is pretty clear.
Oh, very firm. They say, and I quote, V-Day this year feels empty without it.
They're really pushing that new lifestyle idea.
They are.
They're saying this tech is so integrated now that taking it away would feel like a downgrade. It's an upgrade to the human condition, not a replacement.
And they leave us with that little pocket guide recap at the end.
Right. The survival tips. Long distance, use haptics, don't know what gift to buy, let the AI pick, hate traffic, metaverse, and please use secure platforms.
Practical advice for a very, very weird world.
It is.
You know, as we wrap this, I keep coming back to the thread that connects all of this.
Yeah.
The AI soulmate, the genetic matching, the robot waiter.
The drive for optimization. Exactly. We're just stripping away all the messy parts. The bad gifts, the traffic, the awkwardness, the uncertainty of it all.
And it's like rubbing the friction out of love.
But here's the thought I want to leave you with. We've talked about an AI choosing your gift because it knows your partner better than you do. We've talked about a smart ring checking loyalty so you don't have to trust. We've talked about genetic matching finding your partner so you don't have to search.
We have automated the entire process.
We have. But if the AI picks the person, cracks the relationship, buys the presents, and translates the conversation, how much of the love is actually left for the human to do? At what point do we stop being participants in our own lives and just become spectators?
That is the question of the decade.
Something to think about. That's it for this deep dive into the Valentine's Day of 2026.
Stay curious and maybe read the terms of service.
See you next time.